Hello, and welcome back to the Solitude and Single Track podcast, where we talk about our lives as off-grid RVers, traveling with our dirt bikes around Oregon, Washington, the Pacific Northwest. Trying to figure out a better intro than that, because we don't travel a whole heck of a lot at this point in time, but anyways, I'm Zoe Anderson, your host on this podcast, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about breaking out of your comfort zone as a dirt bike rider who is maybe a little bit underconfident, because that's something I personally struggle with, and I know a lot of riders who really struggle with putting fear behind them, especially women and newer riders. And just a side note, I know I've been doing a lot of these like motivational talks lately in the podcast, and I promise this is not like end goal. This is not what we're trying to do on a show, but we haven't been off grid a whole lot. So this is just trying to think of things that I struggle with that I think other people can relate to, because I think it's really important sometimes to get your words out there of things that you struggle with, so that way somebody else can maybe relate to you and know that it's okay and that you can struggle and you can get better with that struggle. So be patient. We will talk more about off-grid stuff. We'll talk more about RV stuff. Like I said, we have a really big build project we're working on the trailer, or going to be working on here soon. And that will be a whole lot of content that I can film and talk about then. So if you're one of those riders who is very risk adverse, maybe you are fairly new, maybe you're not new, but you just don't want to get hurt, you're scared, this is for you. If you're not one of those riders, I guess you can tune out if you want to. Just kidding. I think this is a important topic to talk about, because a lot of people have a lot of fear because dirt bikes are scary. I have been riding for 7 years, and in all honesty, I didn't really start getting confident until the last couple, and I would consider myself a rather green rider for the first 5, maybe even 6 years of my dirt bike career. And that's because I'm, number one, a slow learner when it comes to physical stuff. I was never a physical kid. I avoided PE at all costs. I never worked out. I ran. I did some running for a short amount of time in high school, got out of that really quickly. I've never been more into physical stuff. I've been more into the arts. I'm a creative. I'm a musician. Went to college for music. I was in band. I draw. I paint. I do all those things that aren't sports. So learning how to do sports things has been frustrating and also very taxing for myself. So it took me a long time to figure out how to stop being such a big baby about everything and just get on with it. And that sounds so simple to do, but it's not. And if you struggle with this, you know that it's not as simple as just getting over it and doing it. Even just the last year of riding, my outlook has completely changed from just wanting to stay within my tiny little comfort zone to actually enjoying the struggle and not getting super frustrated when I can't do something that I haven't worked on. So I have kind of come to the realization that I will never be a Tony Bow, I will never be a Graham Jarvis, and I'm never going to be a Cody Webb. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to be as good as I can be, and I'm going to continue to work on my skills and get to the point until I have plateaued. But anyways, fear is something that I struggle with all the time, especially as somebody who is, especially as somebody who is by nature a very anxious person. I have struggled my whole life with anxiety and panic attacks, and I even have a very silly phobia that I'm not going to talk about because it's unrelated. This is something that I struggle with in my daily life, and unfortunately, it also translates into my dirt biking. So I have had actual panic attacks over going downhill that's too steep. When I was on my KX85, when I was first learning to ride, I hated going downhill. It was so scary. And I remember being on a logging road that was maybe like I want to say a 6% grade. It wasn't that bad. And I was so scared that I literally had a panic attack. I did not think I could do it. There's been times even recently that I'll like completely freak out over a log in the trail because it's wet and I had just gone over one before and my back tire slid out and I fell and now there's another one and now I don't know what to do, and it just builds up and it's so easy to do as a rider. So why does that log that we've been over 5 million times, or a similar log to another one that we've been over 5 million times, all of a sudden look so scary, and why can't we do it? And why are we making poor decisions about going over it? I don't know about you, but when I get really, really hyped up and really, really scared, I tend to do something really dumb, and I will either go too slow at an obstacle, or I'll get off my bike and I'll try to walk it, or I'll stop, I'll paddle my feet, I'll do something really dumb, and it always makes it harder than it needs to be. Let's break it down, and I'm going to share with you how I approach fear and approach new obstacles. When we feel fear, it is activating a stress response that interrupts the processes in our brain that help regulate emotions, read cues, and other information about our environment. This can impact decision making, and it often leads to impulse reactions. This is part of the fight or flight response. And funny enough, when I was reading about the fight or flight response, I had never heard before, but it's like, it's not just fight or flight. There's fight, flight, and freeze. And I am typically on the flight and mostly freeze end of the spectrum on fight or flight and freeze. So this is a completely natural thing to feel when we're faced with a stressful situation. It's completely natural. And when we're riding a dirt bike, there's always some level of risk. It is not risk-free. It is not 100% safe. And we know this, but that's why we wear helmets and we wear protective gear. We know there's always that chance that we could get injured, or even worst case scenario, we could unalive ourselves. So the best thing we can do is be the most prepared for the situations that we could possibly come across. So something that I find that helps me on the trail, and hear me out, this is going to sound really, really simple and really, really dumb, is look ahead. And I know that sounds simple, and I know everybody hammers that into new riders. Look ahead, stop looking in front of your fender. Yet we continue to do it. When we are looking directly in front of our fender, or even just a couple feet in front of our fender, we are causing ourselves to be completely unprepared for the obstacles that we are about to hit. Whether that be a corner and looking through the corner, or whether it be a rock garden or a root, a ledge, anything, we're not seeing it until it's too late. And then we have, you know, two options, either continue on or stop. And sometimes we freeze and we stop, and that makes it worse. And we put on the clamps and like, shit, I didn't expect that. That's probably my biggest weakness, is when I'm on a brand new trail or a brand new area, I tend to not look ahead as much as I should. And I'm looking down, looking in front of myself, and I will get to an obstacle that looks kind of scary, and I'll just stop or I'll slow down, and it totally screws me up. So when we're looking ahead, that gives our brains enough time to process what is happening and what the next steps are. And I find this particularly helpful when I'm crossing creek crossings or a rock garden, or anything like that where it's really, really uneven terrain that we're crossing for a short amount of time. If I look ahead and like to where it ends, like if I'm crossing a creek, I don't care about what's in the water. I'm going to look on the other side of the creek, and that's where I'm aiming. You always want to look where you want to go. It's kind of like the first rule you learn when you're learning how to ride a motorcycle, right? And yet it's something that we all forget about. So I find that when I'm not looking at the rocks that I'm going over, it makes it so much easier. Another thing that we tend to do when we're looking directly in front of us is sometimes we like to overanalyze, especially with rock gardens, and we're trying to pick the perfect line that has the smallest rocks and the easiest way, but sometimes that's going to make our bikes go all kinds of directions, and sometimes the easiest way is the path of least resistance, which is going over the big rocks, and it's going over the big log. And that sounds scary, but if you just hit it and you just do it, it's not that scary. And the other thing that helps me is if I just pretend that none of that is there. There is no water that I'm crossing right now. There are no rocks. It's smooth and flat, just like the stuff I just came off of. Kind of tricks my brain into thinking, oh yeah, this is fine. This is smooth. There's nothing wrong. You can balance just fine. What's the problem? So look ahead, look where you want to go. That's going to make it so much easier. And just, you can start just by smaller increments at a time. I mean, I know it's, you just have to force yourself to do it. It's hard, but you can do it. So what about when we come up to a bigger obstacle, like a hill climb, maybe a really big ledge or a really big rock or something like that where everybody, where, you know, you have to stop and then you hit it. The risk adverse tendency when you're in a group who is attempting like a sketchy hill climb is, nah, y'all go ahead, I'll stay here. And then if you're like me, you say that and then you sit there and you sulk because you didn't try it. Because I know I can do those things, and it's really, really disappointing when I let myself down by not even trying it. So this is where you can get off the bike. Just get off the bike, park your bike, walk up to the obstacle, look at it, figure out what you want to do. Like if it's a ledge, like what side, it, you know, do you want this undercut side or do you want this other side that has kind of a kicker? Approach it, look at it from all angles, figure out what's going to be the best way for you to tackle it. If it's a hill climb and you can get to the top by climbing it with your legs, climb up to the top, see what's on the other side, make sure it's not like just a straight down, you know, look at it so that way you're prepared and you're going up, you know what's at the top and you know what's going to happen when you get there and how you can continue to ride it out. If you're in a group, sometimes it helps to have some of the more advanced riders go first, and that way you can watch them and see what their movements are, what lines they take, and what their body movement is doing. And if you are open to it, a lot of riders are incredibly open to giving pointers and help if you need it. And there is absolutely no shame if you are doing like a big wall or a rock, a tire, a big log. It's okay to have a spotter. You can have somebody sitting on top of it, even at the top of the hill climb. Have somebody get up to the top of the hill climb and stand there and wait for you. That way, when you get to the top and you may, you know, maybe you celebrate a little bit too early, you let off the throttle and you're like, oh no, I'm losing momentum. You have somebody up there who can grab your bike and keep you and your bike from rolling off the edge. Same with the rock or the ledge or anything. It's okay to have those people there for your own comfort that can grab you and make sure that you're safe and you don't, you know, loop your bike. Now I know this is going to sound super counterintuitive, but sometimes when I approach new things, especially things on trails, I like to analyze what the risk is. And by what I mean by that is what is most likely to happen if I fail in this situation? If I fail when I tackle this obstacle, what are the worst things that can happen? In certain occasions, it can help. There is such thing as overanalyzing, but I'll get to that. An example of this is recently I did a hill climb out at Tillamook State Forest with my husband, and we were on our trials bikes. And we had gone up this trail, and it was like super, super slick, and it was pretty tough. I think it was like a double black diamond rated trail. So we're going up it, and we get to this landing, and then so Taylor goes up, and I watch him struggle. And he has to take several runs at it to get up it. And I'm like, shit, like, I don't know if he's having a hard time, I'm really going to have a hard time because I don't feel like I'm as good of a rider as he is. I weigh a lot less. And so I have a harder time on slicker surfaces. And I know I'm blaming things that are, you know, not my skill level. My skill level has a lot to do with it, but also my weight does too. Anyways, I sat at the bottom, watched him struggle up it, and I thought to myself, well, you know what? What is the worst thing that can happen? The absolute worst thing that could have happened in that situation is I do something really, really, really dumb, and I loop my bike goes backwards, and I break the brand new $200 fender that I just installed on my trials bike. Which, by the way, from Beta, $160 for a rear fender for a Evo trials bike is fucking dumb. Beta, what's wrong with you? Stupid. They break all the time. Anyways, I could break my brand new fender and I'd be really sad. That'd really bum me out. The next concern was it's very slick, it's very steep, and it's very rutted. I could just lose my momentum. Maybe I didn't get a good enough run at it, and I could just basically my bike would stop and my rear tire would spin. No big deal. I can put a foot down and I can walk my bike back down the hill, try it again. The other concern was, not concern, but the other thing was, when I looked at this hill climb, it's like I said, it's very deep V rutted. It's going, it's pretty steep uphill, but because of the V rut, if my bike stops or I crash or whatever happens, my bike's not going to fall all the way over. It's not going to roll down the cliff. It's going to catch a peg or it's going to catch a handlebar before it, you know, completely like destroys itself running down a hill. So there's not really a whole lot of risk for breaking my bike. And there's not a whole lot of risk of injury on myself because, again, the bike's not going to fall very far. I can get out from under the bike. I mean, there's always the freak accident thing that can happen, but the chances of that happening were very small in my mind. So, whatever. So, I did it. I knew that my risk of totaling my bike and or myself was low, and so I just took a shot at it. Sometimes there are such things as overanalyzing, as I said, and anxiety can force our brains to do a sit and spin. And we sit there and we think and think and think and think and think in circles until we work ourselves up and suddenly our heart's beating really fast, we're anxious, and it's just, it's worse than before. And I find when I start to do that, I start to get agitated. So I have to tell myself, you need to stop. You need to take a deep breath. And it's now time to press the emergency override button. And you just need to do it. And that's when I try to force myself to just hit it. No thoughts, just go. And you hit the thing and you do it. And 9 times out of 10, when you just stop thinking and you just do it, it works out in your favor. 9 times out of 10. Sometimes it does not work out in your favor. But every situation and every obstacle is going to be different. It just takes the time. It takes time finding what works best for you and what works best for that particular obstacle or that situation in that time for you to rationalize attempting something scary. There is no shame in staying safe and not attempting something that you are totally scared of that's making you shut down. There's no shame in knowing your limits. That's totally okay. So once we know that we're going to attempt the obstacle, we need to commit to it. That's the decision, and you need to give it 100%. You need to give it all of your drive, all of your focus, everything, and you're not going to mess it up. If you don't commit to something, like say you're going to hit a big tire and you're going at it, and then all of a sudden you get a little scared, you let off the throttle when you already got your front end up, you're not going to get over it. You're just going to get stuck. You're going to slam it on your skid plate. You're going to fall. Same with a hill climb. If you don't give it your all, you're not going to get enough momentum. Maybe you're in first gear. I can putt up this. It's fine. I'm a little scared to go fast. You're not going to make it. And sometimes we think that we can just be slow about things and, not commit to doing it and just like kind of half-ass it. You can't half-ass those things. You just have to do it. You have to commit to it. You have to follow through because you're going to hurt yourself. You will hurt yourself. Every time I approach a log and I get scared and I stop and then I try to wheelie over it, it bites me in the ass every time. I either end up on the ground or I end up stuck on my skid plate. Every single time. When I see a log and I just hit the log, I'm usually fine 9 times out of 10, like I said. So once you analyze and you weigh your risk and you fully commit to whatever it is that you're doing and you do it, maybe it went perfect. Maybe it didn't. Maybe you could improve on some things. Maybe you dabbed a couple times. Maybe you only dabbed once, but you want to see if you can get it clean. Go back and do it again. It doesn't matter if you did it perfect. Doesn't matter if you messed up just a little. If you have the time and you're able to turn around and you're able to go hit that again, hit it again and again and again. What I like to do is if I'm trying a brand new obstacle, I hit it 3 times. I try to get it clean 3 times. That way I know in my mind, I'm programming my mind that I can do it and I can do it several times. It wasn't a fluke. Because sometimes if we only do something one time, I guess I'm speaking for myself, but sometimes when I only do something one time and then I go back to it like a month later, a week later, whatever, I think, oh, I think that was a fluke. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this again. That was just a one-time thing. Like it just happened to do. I was lucky. I got lucky. No, we don't get lucky. We do it by skill. So do it again and again and again until you are satisfied with it. You're training your brain to say, oh, that's a piece of cake next time you see it, rather than, I got lucky that last time. I don't know if I can do it again. This is especially important if you try something and you fail at it. The first Black Diamond Trail I ever did, I launched my bike off the edge of a switchback, and I was on a Honda CRF 250L at the time, which is a really, really heavy 250 dual sport. And it was about 10, 15 feet down the cliff. And thank God it wasn't clear cut because it got stuck on a tree. And I was fine. The bike was fine. But it took us 2 or 3 hours to get the bike up back on the trail. But I was terrified after that. And I actually I didn't take that trail for another 3 years. It was just a couple years ago that I took that trail for the first time in 3 years. And I was so scared. I was so panicked about it. But I made it out fine. And I cried when I did it because I was like, oh my God, I can do it. So now it's part of my regular routine of like, I have this loop that I go in that specific area that I take all these specific trails. And that's one that I make sure I hit all the time. And I have not yeeted my bike off a cliff since. So fear is a normal and it's a very valid response to anything that you're doing that's stressful, especially anything you're doing on a motorcycle, because anything can happen. There's always the risk of injury when you get on a motorcycle. It's totally okay to flub up on things that you know that you can do better at too. And honestly, I can't tell you how to not be embarrassed when you mess up, because I'm always embarrassed. I'm constantly embarrassed about things that I screw up on. But if it's any peace of mind or any consolation, I don't judge people that also mess up on the same things that I mess up on. It happens to everybody. So next time you're on a ride, remember to look ahead, analyze the situation, commit to the hard stuff, and then don't be afraid to repeat it over and over until you are confident and comfortable and you can go hit that anytime you want. So that's all I've got for you today. If this helped you in any way, it would mean the world to me if you gave this podcast a 5-star rating. The more ratings I have, the more this helps my show get out to more people, which helps me because then I get more viewers and more listeners, and that's fantastic. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the like button on this video and don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel if you're not already. If you have anything that you do differently when you are facing a scary obstacle or when you're fearful on a bike, hit me up in the comments below. Let us know what you do that helps you. All right, guys. Well, until next time.